Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Laura Schwint is a practicing dentist turned coach and all-around badass of a human being. I met her a few years ago at the Dental Entrepreneur Women's Summit in North Carolina, and I saw her from across the room, and I knew right away, this is a woman with some depth and who takes amazing care of herself. She is committed to not only being the best version of herself, she's committed to helping others do the same. She's an entrepreneur, she's a mom, she's a wife, she's an all-around kick-ass human, and she's on a mission to support others in leading their fullest lives. It was an awesome time connecting with Laura because she also shares her journey from being a struggling dentist, suffering from extreme burnout, and how she took the first steps in asking for help, which I always think is the most courageous thing that any human can do, and ask for some coaching and get the guidance that she really didn't know that she needed. And it was uncomfortable and it was painful for her at first, and she shares about it in this episode. And I really can't wait for you to hear about how one dentist went from thinking that she didn't need to coach, suffered through the pain, got some support, and now is leading a life that she loves and is inspiring others to do the same. It's a pretty cool story. Can't wait for you to listen. Laura, I'm so excited to have you with me today. You are somebody that I have admired for years, and I can't wait to share you and your story and all your gifts with the Real Talk of Dental community. And something that I love about your journey is that you were a practicing dentist, general dentist, for years, and now you are this incredible coach who supports people in the dental industry. Really, I think, too, supporting people to not necessarily experience what you experienced and beyond that. So share with me a little bit about what was your breaking point, you know, in your career that had you decide, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, there was many breaking points, I think, right? Like little cracks. But it all began, and the end began when I walked into the operatory of one of my favorite patients. She was, you know, somebody that I adored. I just loved visiting with her. We'd always run behind schedule because we'd chit chat during the appointment, right? I just looked forward to when she was on the schedule. So I came in and we were talking, catching up. And she just said, Laura, you're so good at doing it all. And, you know, that should have just like lifted me up and made me feel so good. But instead, it made me feel like crap. It just hit me in the heart because there were weeks and weeks leading up to that appointment that I would come home and my husband and I would fight. Mm-hmm. And he'd say things like, you know, you're a zombie when you're at home. You're not present. You're always at work. Your daughter misses you. Something's got to change. And so, you know, like I was trying to do it all. And people looked on the outside and thought I was doing a great job. But on the inside, I knew I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the start of my journey into something's got to change for me.
Yeah.
During that time, I had been experiencing all sorts of physical issues as well. So I'd been going to doctor upon doctor upon doctor, and everyone said, oh, your tests are normal. Everything's fine. And I finally went to a functional medicine doctor, and she said, I know what's wrong with you. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, okay, let's get into it. Let's fix this. And she said, it's your relationship with stress.
Mm.
That's what she said. But what I heard was, you have to change your stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how am I supposed to do that? Like, how do I change my stress? I mean, I can't, you know, I've got three kids. What, I'm just not going to have three kids now. I, you know, I've got a practice. I'm just not going to have a practice. But that was sort of the second piece of it. And that's when I decided to hire my first life coach, which, yeah, was pretty scary because it was an admission that I didn't have it all together.
Yeah, that's really big. And thank you for sharing that, because I know you're not alone. I know there's so many people out there that struggle with this, you know, this idea of managing so many things all at once and being a big income, I'm sure, for your family. And you've gone to school for so many years and you've built this business, and then to go, oh my gosh, this is really, really hard. I don't know if I can keep doing this. What in that moment had you hire a life coach versus saying, hey, is there a pill for this that I can take, or hire an associate, or hire a team member, a new team member? Like, what had you go in the direction of getting outside help versus, well, then I need to fix this problem internally with something else?
I'd love to say that it was a brilliant insight, but yeah. Really it was that I had done all those other things already and it hadn't fixed it. So the common denominator really was me, right?
Yeah. And you knew you needed help. Yeah. Yeah.
And I knew that there was something internally. You know, it's interesting, but this was way in the beginning of my self-growth journey.
Yeah.
And I remember people saying, oh, go within. The answers are within. And I was just like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. And basically, I didn't understand it because I never stopped moving.
I love that. That's huge. There's so much wisdom and information in the silence and in the pause, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've been talking a lot with others about. And even for myself currently, I just need to slow, you know, oftentimes I'll be like, I just need to slow down. I need to take a minute to let everything that I've been doing really integrate. Because when we have our foot on the gas, full speed all the time, we overstep so many of the lessons or just the integration of everything. You know, we're going too fast. So how far into your career were you in this situation?
It was pretty far in. It was probably year 15,
wow.
16, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm.
And then so over those years, you were trying different solutions from an operations and strategic plan in your office, and none of those were working.
Yeah. Hire the associate, get the new piece of equipment, take the CE, expand, add more team, do more activities with my kids, sign them up for more things, volunteer more in the community, like,
yes.
You know, all the things that you just keep saying, well, maybe this is what I need, right?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, yeah, you're speaking my language. So, as you know. So, okay, so you reach out, you hire this life coach, and then what happened?
I tell this story often, and it's one of my favorite stories because it was so pivotal for me. But when I got on with her, I had no idea what this was about, right? And she started asking me questions, and I was like, oh, well, what about you? How many kids do you have? Where do you live? What, you know, what are your hobbies? You know, and she was like, whoa. This is about you.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to dive into you. And I was just like, what, really? Oh. I remember sweating profusely for the first many, many calls with her because it was just like so uncomfortable to like talk about me and what was really going on, not just the superfluous stuff like, you know, how was your day? What'd you do? Who'd you see? What's the weather like?
Yeah.
Right? It was like more that. But she gave me an assignment. The very first assignment she gave me was that I needed to get up 15 minutes early and do nothing.
Mm. It's like nails on a chalkboard when you hear that, right?
I was just like, this makes no sense to me. First of all, I'm exhausted and you want me to get up 50 minutes earlier. Second of all, you want me to do nothing, which I don't know how to not do anything.
Yeah.
But that was the greatest gift because I really started, I mean, it didn't happen overnight or anything, but I really started to love that time because it was just like my whole spirit, my soul, my essence started to uncover itself from all these layers of doing and busy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just like, oh, I can come out.
I'm curious too, because what in your mind, because I know there's this idea when people reach out for help, what that first, what the story is that we tell ourselves when we do that. And then two, I think maybe you can share for folks that are listening or watching what you were feeling like in those early moments, because you have such a great way of describing, and you have this very visceral memory, I can tell, of those early days when you started getting coached, that could be helpful to people that are new to coaching to realize, oh, this is kind of normal behavior or feelings, because sometimes when people start new things, they recognize there's some discomfort, think, oh, this isn't for me, or God, I suck at this. Like a lot of times when I'm a big, you know, avid meditator, so is my husband, we talk about meditation a lot. And so many people, when they start meditating, they're like, oh, I can't sit still for more than 2 minutes, you know, or my mind's too, I suck at meditating, I'll never do it again. And when you start talking about, well, this is what the experience is like in the early days, and you move through this, and this is what's on the other side of that, it's always helpful for people to see a little bit of what the experience is like, that they're not alone in that, and then also what's possible for them. So do you remember, like, I like how you said you were really uncomfortable, you're sweating a lot, but what were some of the real negative thoughts that you were having? Like, did you have anything that was like, this is so stupid, or why did I do this? You know, any of that doubt?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I had doubt, like, how is this going to help me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was 100 steps ahead. I wanted to know the outcome.
Yes.
And I didn't understand or appreciate that the real gold, the real treasure is in each of those steps. And so, yeah, there were many times I'd get off. This was way back in the day. We didn't do Zoom. We just did telephone calls back then. So I'd get off the phone and I'd look at my notes and I'd be like,
right.
How is this going to help?
Yeah.
So there was that for sure. There was also big time imposter syndrome. Am I really capable of seeing this through? Like, there, she'd push some buttons and she'd challenge some beliefs and she'd challenge some negative thought patterns that I had. And I'd for sure think, am I capable of this? I mean, I've been operating like this my whole life and it's gotten me success. Why am I changing this? Why do I need to shake it up? But, you know, I keep coming back to, well, I don't want more of the same. I don't want more of the same. I want something better. So if I need to not want more of the same, I need to shift or do something. So yeah, there were many, many times. And still to this day, I mean, I coach. I have a coach. I've always had a coach. Yeah. I still sweat on the calls. I still get off and wonder, you know, where is this taking me?
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that if I just trust and take that step, that one step, and appreciate what I learn from that step, that it informs the next step.
Yeah. And you've learned to trust the process, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like what you said too, how, you know, you experienced all this quote unquote success. So it was confusing to you to, you know, work with a coach and get help in general. But I'm guessing you learned, you know, through the coaching and the work that you were doing, that that version of success wasn't your version of success. And so you needed to work through, like, what does the life that I want look like? And then how can I move towards that? Is that right?
Yeah, it was interesting that this version of success that I thought. And then it got messy. And I started, you know, subscribing to other people's versions of success.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that that was what I needed. So that was to unwrite that after that's what you've been doing for so long, and to even remember what were those initial voices, what were those initial heartstrings that were pulling on you. That took a lot because I had kind of just quieted them for so long.
Yeah.
And then there was the whole, you know, when we kind of visited a little bit about this, the whole worrying what people were going to think if I did it different.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big one. That's a big one. So let's talk about that. And I want to hear, before you talk about what other people will think and that fear, how long after you started working with this coach did you realize that you didn't want to be chairside anymore?
There's kind of some other layers to the onion, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But she really helped me redo my version of success mm-hmm. within my practice. So during that time, when I was going through that, I actually lost all but one team member, which was extremely traumatic and made me feel like a ginormous loser. Mm-hmm. But it also ended up being exactly what I needed, because I was transitioning how I practiced into a more holistic way for success in my world, right? Mm-hmm. And so I ended up finding team members that were what I call my dream team. Mm-hmm. They were super supportive, super just on the same page. And it really did make that time after my life coach in practice much happier. I was more fulfilled, happier than I had ever been in my career. But then, because life has a way of doing this to you, mm-hmm. we found out that my son had a rare genetic disorder. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changed the trajectory of how we thought about how we wanted to live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that time, my husband found out that he essentially had something like it as well, and he needed emergency surgery mm-hmm. for it. And so that really shifted, and we were like, we're working all the time. And for what?
Mm-hmm.
And we decided again to just radically shift, and we wanted to move, which meant selling the practice.
Mm. Oof.
Yeah. So we sold the practice and we moved to the mountains of Oregon. And that is when I kind of had that, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I had time to like think about it. And my life coach had said something during one of our very last calls. I had said, I love how you've supported me. I love this transformation that you've helped me with. I wish I could give this gift to other people. And she said, why can't you?
I love that. Yeah.
That kind of woke up in me after we moved to the mountains. So there you go. That's kind of the edited version, yeah. So to speak.
Wow. And so all along, you know, with the idea of worrying what other people will think, clearly it didn't kill you. You're still here, right? And you're living this life that is more aligned with who you want to be and what lights you up, and, you know, more in that flow state that we like to talk about. What was your realization as you were going through this, you know, making these bold moves?
So many realizations. I think some of the first ones that I struggled with was the identity piece.
Mm.
Who am I now? I mean, I've devoted from middle school on to becoming a dentist, being a dentist.
Yeah.
So who am I now? There was time that had to realize that I'm more than just what I do.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Did knowing that and recognizing that internally give you the strength to navigate? Because I'm sure you were getting comments like, what the heck are you doing? Or, hey, you've changed, you know, you're different now. And you're like, I hope so internally, but I'm sure you were getting some of that along the way. How did you have the confidence to stay? And I know we all vacillate a bit, but to stay the course, essentially, how did you root down in that?
You know, I think it comes back to that spending those 15 minutes in silence, which evolved into doing that inner work and being in touch again with that inner person,
mm-hmm.
because I started to trust my intuition again.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so somebody could, and I'm the black sheep in the family, right? Like, and so there was a lot from family, from friends, from colleagues. In fact, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I just had a message from a colleague who said she didn't get why I stopped practicing dentistry. Mm. She didn't get it. But that through her own journey of, you know, self-discovery, she's starting to understand and respect the choices, right? Like everybody's choices are their own choices, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so that was nice to hear. But even though it was hard, and it's, and I mean, it still is. I still don't get me wrong. I'm not over it in any way, shape, or form. I still worry what other people are going to think.
Yeah, it's normal. We're human, right?
Yeah. Right. But I guess what's different is that when I have that knowing, I just move forward anyway.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting, too, is part of the human condition. I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and I had to learn this, you know, in my career, too, is we tend to worry more about the people that we don't necessarily admire or respect. Like, we want to get their, you know, we want to get their approval more so than the people that we really do love and respect and admire, right? It's like this, and I guess, you know, you see this all the time, too, with celebs and things like that, where they're more concerned with the haters than they are, you know, the negative reviews than they are all the positive reviews. And I'm sure there's some psychoanalysis that will give us a reason why. But I really, you know, I had a mentor say it to me at one point in my life where I was feeling really down and frustrated that I wasn't getting the approval of a colleague. And, you know, she had said to me, she goes, "Do you even respect him?" Because she knew how I would often talk about him. And I said, "No, not at all." She said, "Why are you so concerned what he thinks about you then?" And I was like, "Oh my God, you're right." You know, it was like, clearly we have different values. Clearly we have different approaches to things. And I was so concerned about winning him over. And I didn't even care. But there was something mm-hmm. inside of me that just was like, you know, I need to win him over versus all the other folks that, you know, I feel aligned with, that do support, that do encourage, that see why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I do know we're a pack species, right, as an animal. So we do need each other to survive. And I think it's normal to want that validation and support from a community or a small group. But it's who we're choosing, you know, in that group that is so critical. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do. And that's something that I think you and I both talk with folks about, too, is, you know, what are we paying attention to? What are we tuning into? Because we always, there's a million ways you can do a certain thing. And we see all these examples now online. And like you said, you get caught up in that trap of living out somebody else's dream or what others are doing, thinking, well, I need to do that too. And it takes a lot of support. It takes a lot of guidance to stay on your own track.
I think you bring up such a good point there. It makes me think of a story of mine from dental school that, and I think these stories, like if you can look back in your life at moments when there was a big change or you trusted your mm-hmm. intuition or you got through a challenge and you can look at who was around supporting you then, mm-hmm. and then look for those people in your future. Look for those people in what you're going through right now. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that it's going to be that person, but somebody like that person.
Yeah.
That's where you should draw your energy from. But this story is that I was doing my oral surgery rotation and we got to go into the surgery, you know, in the hospital. They were doing a hospital case and the head of oral surgery, who everyone wanted to make sure he knew they were good, right? Yeah. Like we were all like trying to be gunners so that he would recognize us. He was doing the surgery and I was in with a couple other. We were just observing, but we got to put the hospital scrubs on. We felt pretty cool. We were in there and I asked a question. I don't even remember what the question was, but he stopped everything. And he said, "That is the stupidest question I've ever heard."
Oh my gosh.
And then he just started working again. He didn't answer it.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like devastated. I couldn't even stay. So I left. I walked out. I was just like, I was going to start bawling.
Yeah.
But as I walked out, I was walking by other suites that surgeries were going in. And I peeked my head in the window of this one. And it was a surgeon that was doing a kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. And he saw me and he said, mm-hmm. So I went in and he's like, you know, you can't come into the field, but there's a stool right there that you can stand and you can kind of look over if you want and watch what we're doing. And he explained everything while he was doing it. Like for my, like, this is what, you know, I remember that moment that day, because I think, you know, there's two types of people that we should be looking for support. And we should be looking for, as far as what we want to bring, you know, what, when we're worried about what other people think, there's two type of people, like you said, the haters versus the people that support you. And then at the end of the day, the most important person is yourself.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I often say as well, it's when we have those experiences, it teaches us more about ourselves than it does taking inventory of the other person. So it's because I'm thinking about a young version of me in that situation and being like, oh, he's so awful. He's such a jerk, you know, blah, blah, blah. And even with that colleague that I was talking about from a long time ago, where I had that those thoughts, I really had to bring the attention back to myself and go, okay, it's not so much about what makes me not admire or like them. It's showing me who I want to be. You know, what are my values? Because it's more about how do I want to show up? So I hear in what you're saying, and you are this way today, you want to be the kind, you know, leader and teacher. Like, hey, watch me, let me show you, versus you're an idiot, you don't know this by now. Where you'd be like, well, that's why I'm here. I'm going to school to learn. Sorry, you know? And so you're the person that's like wants to be that the second guy, the kidney doc, you know? And so it shows like, oh, this is how I want to show up in the world. And I think that's what's always really important to me, you know, in this one instance where I didn't admire this one person, he was somebody that didn't really honor or encourage inclusivity. You know, there was a lot of othering going on. And I found that really frustrating. But then I looked at, and I was like, oh, that's because inclusivity is really important to me. And that's, I have that higher on the value scale than, you know, this guy does. And so I was able to recognize that right away and think, what a gift this is for me, having that tension in this relationship, because it just shows me and distills even more what my values are and how I want to be. Like, that's what's important for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think even those situations are always such a gift to show us more, highlight, you know, the parts of ourselves, which I think are very cool. So now you're this, you know, amazing coach in the world, and you're creating such awesome value to people and really being that light, being that guy, being that teacher, you know, that you've wanted to be, that you probably didn't know you wanted to be, but was in you. What are some of the, you know, things you can share with people that find coaching to be this, oh gosh, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. I need to, you know, does this mean I failed? Does this mean that I didn't make it? Or just some of the stigmas that still exist out there when it comes to hiring a coach or even a therapist or getting yourself a mentor or a guide. You know, I often joke, I've said this several times, I have a village that it keeps me going. So I don't know why I am that way. I'm like, hey, you want to help me? Yes, please give me all the help. I'm totally open to it, but I'm not, you know, not everyone's like me. So what are your thoughts on that, that you've noticed, and even being that person once before, that you can share with people who are, you know, considering it or just think this is crazy to get a coach?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I love, first of all, I'd just like to put a bookmark there and just come back to thank you for sharing about how that interaction or with that person made you realize what gifts you have and what's important to you. And I think I love that, because, you know, anybody that we come across, if somebody rubs us the wrong way, there's so much to learn there. And to turn it, instead of like, oh, they're just this blah, 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 to turn it internal and be like, oh, why is that rubbing me the wrong way? Oh, it's because I value this. Oh, that's actually pretty cool. And that's okay if they don't value it, right? That just means that we're probably not going to click as well as somebody else, right?
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful way to, gosh, if we could do that in our world with everybody, right? Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had to learn these things and to also get right sized in that, where it's, you know, who am I to say what someone should have as their top five values? You know, and we're all coming with, history, baggage, trauma, situations, stories, you know, we all have this lineage of situations that have created us into who we are today. And of course, you know, it would make sense to lead with love and have that be a number one value for all. And, you know, then I watch documentaries on animals and, you know, how, you know, the animal kingdom works. And, you know, again, one of my spiritual mentors, she was like, Brandy, nature is savage, you know? And because I'm like, why don't the animals all get along? You know, why are they so mean to each other? And certain animals travel in certain packs and cohabitate, and some don't. You know, everyone knows about my cat, and she's, you know, the love of my life. And we let her watch her kitty soap opera, which is essentially YouTube videos of wild cams out in the world. And sometimes it's night shots, and there'll be a cat, a deer, raccoon, a skunk, all these animals just kind of hanging out together, nibbling away at whatever treats they have out. And I'm just looking at these things going, wow, look at these. They're all different and they're just cohabitating. But then this other animal will come along and they'll all clear, you know, they'll clear the scene. Mm-hmm. And it's just really interesting that not all animals resonate and get along. And so I often will look at nature. I always say nature is my greatest teacher. Certain plants I'm learning, you know, I'm new at landscaping here at our house, and certain plants don't like to be near each other, certain trees. I mean, there's all these things. And so it's like, okay, well, I would like to think we could all get along. And the reality is, you know, I think we're probably just an extension of the greater web of life, where we're not all going to be kumbayaing. Although we can try.
Maybe not kumbayaing, but at least maybe acknowledging that, you know, you get to be a lion, I get to be a raccoon, and we do our things differently, and we have different ways and different ideas and different values, and but we are all part of the same earth.
So, yes, and without the earth, none of us will be here either. So we have to have that in common, at least respect for the earth. Yeah. So,
all that. But back to your question. Yeah. Sorry, I diverted there.
I love talking about values. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, right? And I think that that's something that leads right into, like, okay, you know, if you're still kind of worried about this, you know, getting help, I would say, look at what you value. What is it that you value? And could you serve better with that value to that value? Mm-hmm. If you had somebody in your corner helping you, I mean, sports, I love sports analogies, right? But how many great, of the best athletes in the world have multiple coaches?
Yep.
They're at the pinnacle of their career.
Yeah.
You know, they've arrived and they're still getting feedback. They're still getting support. They're still getting somebody. And so I just think that, you know, if you truly care about your values and about showing up with those values a little better every day, which I think is the ultimate goal of life, mm-hmm. show up a little better every day, close that gap between who you are and who you're meant to be. And to do that, why not get some help? Mm-hmm. Why not get another perspective? Why not, you know, I mean, think about, like, when you're holding something big, and you don't want to tell anybody. Maybe you feel a little shame, maybe you feel a little guilt, and then you finally tell somebody, and it just, like, all of a sudden the weight is lifted, all this that you've been carrying alone. And you think, why didn't I do that? And if I think back to my very first life coach, I think, why didn't I do that sooner?
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, with that, it's almost like it happened right on time, because if you hadn't exhausted all efforts, you know, there probably would have still been some doubt in your head. Like, oh, what would have been, if I just hired an associate, would I still need to do this? You know? And so I do believe in some divine timing with some of these things. And I think what's really beautiful about what you're saying is that it's an option and it's part of the fold, you know? Like, it's not, I'm throwing in the towel, You know, it's, having a coach is just as beneficial as having a front office team member, you know, or having, I don't know, personally, if you have somebody else, you know, a babysitter or something like that, where it's another part of your team, another part of keeping you in check. And that's why I say what I say, where I have this a team of people, and they each offer different things that I need in my life, whether it's more spiritual guidance, whether it's geared around recovery, you know, whether it's geared around business, whether it's geared around marketing, and they all specialize in these certain things, right? And I think you're reminding me recently that I want to add in, because this is just such like a hashtag duh moment. But you know, let's just say I'm closer to 50 than I was not that long ago. And so just kidding, but I'll be 47 in September. And there's so much out there nowadays with like perimenopausal stuff, right? And just as far as like our bodies changing and estrogen and muscles and, you know, all of this. And I've been an athlete and I've been into fitness my entire life. Athlete might be a stretch. I was an athlete when I was younger, but I've always been into fitness. And I've never.
Hey, if you're into fitness, you're an athlete. Come on. You're an athlete.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I got a gym here at the house, you know, stuff like that. It's no matter where I go, there's always, you know, a gym set up and I'm very committed to it. And it's, you know, what that's looked like over the years has changed for sure. And so over the last few years, because of my age and the algorithms, I'm getting hit with all this information on how I should be taking care of my body and protein. And then, you know, you need salt and you need this and you need that. And there's just so much stuff, you know, creatine. If I see one more ad on creatine, it's like, okay, I get it. I need creatine. I'm going to be a dummy if I don't have creatine, apparently. So there's just all these messages coming at me. And I'm lifting and I'm working out and I'm doing, you know, my cardio, my Peloton and all this stuff. I got my walking treadmill, my standing desk. I have all these things. And I'm having aches and pains. And I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm like, oh man, I got to do this. I'm self-diagnosing, essentially, right? Because I'm getting hit with all this information. I do go to a functional medicine doc, you know, and then I'm like trying different supplements and magnesium and da 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 da. And so, but I still feel a little, and I'm like frustrated. I'm trying all these things and I'm not really getting the root of some of these aches and pains after I lift. Well, finally, a few months ago, I was like, I'm just going to hire a trainer. I need someone to just tell me what the heck to do, because I'm over here self-diagnosing and creating my own workout plans based on, you know, I got the Peloton app, I got all these YouTube stuff, I have all these influencers I follow on Instagram, and I'm trying to like ad hoc my thing. And my point is, I'm not an expert at fitness. You know, I enjoy it, right? I'm interested in these things, but I don't study it, right? It's not my life. I do these other things. So I finally found this woman and I love her. She's amazing and it's virtual. It works for me. And on one of our first virtual meetups, she has me doing a couple exercises and right away she goes, oh, your form is terrible. And I'm like, oh, what? And it was just these couple tweaks. I mean, nuance, right? It's not like I was like throwing the weights over my head. Cause again, my body's not foreign to working out. And there was just a couple small tweaks that I had to do with like my low back and my hips and how I was hinging and all these things. I never thought about hinging. And she teaches me this stuff and I felt so foreign to it. Like I had to really mind body connect to get my body to move in a certain way. And just like that, Laura, no more pain. I mean, I have spent years and so much money and so much time trying to figure out this mystery condition. And I convinced myself it was because I was aging, because that's what everyone's telling me, right? And the reality is I needed to push my butt out a little bit more, right? And that was it. And I'm healed. And so, and just even like I was trying to do different hip stuff and I thought, oh, this is hard and it feels foreign. She's just like, just keep doing it. You got to get the mind, muscle, my body connected. You need to rebuild those, you know, those pathways, those neural pathways. Sure enough, she was right. In a couple weeks, no problems at all. And it was just so amazing because here I hired a woman who's an expert in these things. She was able to look at my situation, fine tune it, tell me certain things, boom, right? And I think, and I'm saying this because there's so many people out there that struggle and they're trying to self-diagnose. They're trying to find a way. They're comparing themselves to colleagues. I compare myself to all these middle-aged women on Instagram and thinking, well, I need to be like them. I need to eat like them. They're only showing you the stuff they want to sell or the highlight reel or whatever. And I'm trying to piece together, you know, this plan for myself that isn't unique to me, that isn't specialized to me. And it's more of a blanket program. And I want the nuance. I want somebody to take a look at my specific situation and say, this is what will help. And then you move through it so much faster. I don't know how much longer. I probably never would have figured out that my back was, I was holding my back incorrectly when I was doing certain weight exercises, right? And like you're saying, that's what a coach can do is take, you know, work with you, like your coach, right away. Started recognizing ways that you were being that felt so foreign to you. And in time, you all of a sudden started to reconnect with yourself. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think that you bring up such a beautiful point. And I'm going to think about this now always with coaching is stick your butt out a little more.
Yeah, exactly. It's as easy as that.
As easy as that. Just stick your butt out. not your neck, your butt.
Push the butt out.
Oh, but that it is all about you.
Yeah.
That's where the value comes. And I'm all for, like you, I know you are, community and learning in groups, and that we definitely can learn from each other. And, you know, I think that's beautiful too. But there's something really special about when you come with what you're bringing and somebody sees that and helps you with it. For something that works for you. And that's where, you know, and in our profession, we have a lot of systems and a lot of, you know, and so you can liken this to all the aging things that are going on as well. All these systems, all these things that if you follow this, 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 and this, this will work, right? Well, except there's some nuances because I'm not sticking my butt out. So it's not working. So I think that you bring up just such a very great way to like think of it, like the trainer, the personal trainer, the coach that helps you with your shot, the, you know, and you can apply that to anything in your life. What do you want to get better at? What do you want to change? What goals do you have? What challenges do you have? How can somebody who has some experience with that, or who has some tools, or who can just listen to you? You know, interestingly enough, I was on a coaching call and we were celebrating wins from what happened between coaching calls. And she said, yeah, I wish I would have thought of that, you know, like, because when I did that and I stopped her and I'm like, well, but you did think of that. On our last call, you're the one that came up with that idea. Like, oh, you're right. You know, and so I think that's another piece of it is sometimes the going, like trying to figure it out, trying to do all the things, and sometimes just stopping and getting some value from somebody else is huge.
Yeah. I love that you share that story too, because I'll often say with coaching, a lot of times coaches, mentors, guides, they remind us of who we are. And we often need those reminders all the time because we live in a society that's so plugged in. You know, I often say we're in this information overload epidemic. I mean, we're getting hit with so much information, more than I think we can actually humanly handle at times. And we're processing all of it. And I just think we get lost in the sauce, you know, and forget. It's so easy to forget, like, oh, I should have that. I need that. Or I need to do this. Oh my gosh, look at what they're doing. I should be doing that. Our minds are just constantly in this compare state of mind. And we can get lost in that. And to have a coach, like you're saying, say, well, no, you actually, you're committed to this. And this is what you've been saying continuously for the last year. This is what you really want. And, you know, you can unpack it. Your mind changes. But for me, I consistently need to be rooted back down and reminded. And whether we're doing that alone, like you're saying, in that spiritual time where you're really connecting with your higher self and your inner knowing and your intuition, that's really valuable. And then also having people around you that help keep you in, you know, like the bumpers in the gutters at the bowling alley or something, you know, just kind of keeping you contained so you can stay the course, I think is really helpful. So,
yeah, I love that. And that's probably one of the best feelings in the whole wide world is encouraging somebody else by helping them remember who they are.
Yes.
Helping them remember their gifts, helping them remember the light that they have. There's no better gift than that. I tell this story because it was just an awakening for me, but my middle child wanted to be a professional skier. He did all that he still does. He does the flips and the,
wow,
the things on the rails, and he was obsessed with it. And one night he wasn't doing his homework. And I said, you know, if you don't do your homework, at some point in your life, you're going to need to know this stuff. You're going to need to do something other than skiing. And he just put his head down on his desk and he started crying. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he's like, you don't believe in me. And I just, at that moment, I recognized how powerful believing in somebody is. That is the biggest gift that you can give someone. And so I think too, the beauty of coaching is it spills into other areas of your life. In other words, you may recommend to a team member that they have a coach. You may become that coach for that person. You may bring some of these skills into relationships with kids or a youth group or somewhere where you volunteer. You know, there's a ripple impact to this that I think is beautiful as well. So,
1,000%. Laura, yours is incredible. I love all the work that you're doing out in the world and who you are and the energy you bring and just such an inspiration for many. Is there anything that you want to share to anyone that might be on the fence about coaching or reaching out for help or just in general about your own growth that you feel powerful about that you want to share?
One thing that has been transformative for me through my coaching, what I've learned is that it's not supposed to be easy. Life in general, not just coaching, but life in general is not, it's not meant to be. And there's always going to be challenges. You never arrive. You never, you know, get to that place where there's not going to be any more challenges. You've made it. So if we accept that and we look at challenges as a way to grow, a way to become better, and we look back at like all we've been through and how much we've grown, what it's, you know, because you can always, in hindsight, that was the best thing for me. In hindsight, I learned this. So if we can look to the next challenge and say, hey, this is just an opportunity for me to push myself, push my butt out of my comfort zone. And get better, to grow, to learn. So let's go. Let's do it.
Woo! Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much, Laura. You are exceptional. And I'm really grateful that you were on today to have this awesome chat with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And thanks for all you're doing to spread the good word.
Thanks, Laura. You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.